There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 382, October 8th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we adore the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge. Race number 8 is this weekend at Dixon. You are about to enter the No Spin Zone. The F1 Weekly podcast begins right now. On today's program, Kubica signs with Renault. Still no deal for Kimi Raikkonen. US F1 with no American drivers. And of course, Motorsports Mondial with the guru of motorsports, Mr. Nasser Hamid. Stephen, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Fine and dandy, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
I'm just wonderful. Great news, of course. We know Alonso's going to Ferrari. I was pretty convinced that Kimi would be going to McLaren. And, of course, we knew that Robert Kubica would be going to Renault.
I think it's a good thing for Renault. It basically gives him one of the top four drivers on the grid, at least in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So, give him a quality vehicle, he's going to be able to win you races.
And, of course, he went through the Renault driver development program, so he's familiar with the kiss on both cheeks when you enter the facility. But, nevertheless, I'm very happy for Robert Kubica. I think it's going to be a good team. The biggest question is, will Romain Grosjean be there next year?
Yeah, that is now coming into question since Romain has not really shown much pace so far in the car since he who shall not be named has been let go. And should be interesting to see. I'm not sure who they could maybe snatch up to fill it. Maybe they'll bring Nick Heidfeld over too.
It's very possible, even though Nick Heidfeld could very well go to some of the newer teams like Lotus or what have you. But I honestly believe that Renault needs to turn the page. They've had two bad seasons. They have no more Fernando. Robert Kubica is good, and Robert Kubica is going to want a winning car. And I just don't think Romain Grosjean is going to be cutting the moutarde, as they say.
Yeah, well, it's not two. It's been 3 years.
Yeah, see, that's how bad it is for me. Suffering.
Yeah, you've been trying to forget a couple of them just to, so you can.
Well, I'm in denial. I admit it. But I just don't see Renault going through another year with a driver that's marginal at best. He just, Nasser has spoken about him in great detail and thought he was talented, but we really haven't seen any explosion like we saw when Sebastian Vettel came on the scene at the United States Grand Prix replacing Robert Kubica for BMW in 2007. So, I don't know. To be honest with you, I say get rid of the guy and let's get somebody else in there. Let's quit. You know, the driver development program is not in Formula One.
No, but the problem you have nowadays is that you're almost stuck with having to do that to a degree in the fact that you can't test.
And, well, that's going to change.
And that's got to, ultimately, I think, for the rookies at the very least, you've got to let them get on the track more. You know, maybe you shut down the recorder so that they can't, save the telemetry to develop the car, but just get them on track so they can learn to drive the darn thing.
Yeah, I think that that's going to change because of a number of issues. For instance, Felipe Massa having to test an F2007 car instead of testing the current car because of the testing rules, having to get permission from the FIA and the teams. All this is just silly. We need to have testing. It's good for young drivers. It's good for development. And it's good for the sport because I think in the end, the spectators get a better spectacle.
Yeah, exactly. And also, what they've been talking now, especially after the incidents in Japan, that it's becoming a safety issue. You've got kids who just haven't been in the car enough and are basically putting themselves into the barrier. And what's going to happen is, you know, hopefully it doesn't take them this long to get around to it, but you're going to get an accident like the one that Agosuari had, where he bounced back into the track after hitting the wall, and someone's going to be there when he bounces back
in. Yeah, and Agosuari had two major accidents that weekend. Not only that, but I think Luca Badoer, to be fair to him, he got the raw end of the deal, replacing Felipe Massa with no testing.
Exactly, and he hadn't really driven that car in the preseason at all because of the limits on testing. You know, the two drivers were in it because they needed the time with the new car.
Exactly. So a lot of the criticism he received by the pundits was brutal, but really not his fault.
No, because if you go and look at what Fizzy's done since he's got in the car, and Fizzy's been driving a current Formula One car all season, and he gets into the Ferrari, and he's marginally better than Badoer at best so far.
Well, a lot of people like you and I and the people on the street, when they hear the word Ferrari, they assume that it's a great car, it's easy to drive, and it's fast right out of the box. And apparently that's not the case with this Ferrari. This Ferrari is brutal to drive.
It's a Formula One freaking car. I don't think there is a Formula One car that's easy to drive.
Well, there are different levels, and apparently even Domenicali admits that this car is actually very hard to drive. It's not like some of the past championship-winning Ferraris. This is a very hard car to drive. They've only won one race this year, and Giancarlo Fisichella has realized that the Force India was probably an easier car to drive.
Yeah, well, simpler if nothing else, just because it doesn't have as many bells and whistles, because Force India can't afford them.
Which is a good thing. Less bells equals more whistle.
Exactly.
So there you have it. The biggest news is, you know, I was convinced Kimi Raikkonen was going to McLaren. It seemed like a good fit, but that isn't the case. Apparently now there could be a surprise switch to Red Bull in 2010, dumping Mark Webber. I mean, this is the shock of all shocks. And I would love to see this. Sebastian Vettel against Raikkonen. I mean,
in equal machinery would be fun to watch.
I mean,
It's like, okay, who do I want to see him race in equal machinery with? Lewis
and
Sebastian?
Yeah, it's the major cage rattle of the weekend. I mean, any race is going to be exciting. So when you see that kind of pairing.
Yeah, I find it odd that they're having trouble signing him, because it's not like he can be asking for a whole lot of money since he's paid for next year.
Well, I don't know. It's really bizarre, but apparently McLaren doesn't like the amount of money that a Kimi Raikkonen demands.
Well, if you look at what Ferrari was supposedly paying him, you know, they could take that kind of money and go buy the BMW motor plant for that kind of cash.
And that's the next rumor that I'm going to go to. But all of a sudden, McLaren is super supportive of Heikki Kovalainen because he's cheap.
And pretty much sign him to what amounts to a, you know, a GP2 contract with maybe just a few extra bennies on the top, and get him back for next year.
Not only that, but he's a good number two. Listens, takes orders,
and doesn't cost much. He's probably not a bad guy for developing the car.
No.
He probably gives good feedback. You know, for some reason he's just not. You know, some of it's who his teammate is, but I expected him to be a little bit more competitive than he's been.
So, yeah, this is very, very bizarre, but I'm sure something's going to come up soon. We'll see what happens to McLaren, because also we have the Nico Rosberg,
With Renault signing Kubica, that's kind of the next domino. So, you know, because Fernando was kind of the one that we were waiting for to get everything started. So now that Kubica's signed, we should, I think we're going to start seeing a driver a week kind of thing fall into place on the other teams.
Right. And a lot of the commentary from McLaren is that apparently Lewis and Heike's driving styles are very similar compared to Fernando and Lewis, who had very different driving styles. So, and apparently Kimi had some pretty interesting driving styles as well and demanded the car set up in a certain way. So we'll see what happens, but it definitely, I don't know. I think McLaren has decided to go with the smooth road instead of the headache.
Yeah, that could be that, and too, that, you know, if they're looking at dropping Mercedes, they're going to be needing some cash. And so paying for a driver like
exactly
Kimi Räikkönen is not going to be something, you know, that's money that could be going into development. You know, what they're saying, Kimi was supposed to be like $49 million this year or something ridiculous like that.
45, I think, yeah. But you make
That's enough to fund Kaiki's salary and probably, what, 10, 15 engineers for a year?
No, and you make a good point with the rumor about McLaren interested in buying the BMW Formula One engine program, because what they were thinking is get rid of Mercedes and McLaren could build their own motors.
Right.
Be completely self-contained.
And become a complete independent again.
Absolutely. Which would be interesting if, and it's not out of the realm of possibilities. I mean, I can see they have the technology for sure. I think their new road car is a McLaren motor.
Hmm, interesting.
So we'll see what happened, but very interesting stuff. Let's get right to Braun. Apparently, Rubens Barrichello going to Williams looks like a pretty well confirmed deal. Looks like Nico Rosberg will go to Braun.
A swap. So who's going to pair with Rubens at Williams?
It's going to be Nico Hülkenberg. Absolutely. He's ready to go. GP2 champion. I mean, he's just an outstanding driver, an outstanding talent, managed by Willie Weber.
You want to talk about cage rattling? Wow.
Yeah.
No. Rubens is going to be looking like the old man, I think.
Well, I mean, the age thing will finally start showing when you have that vast. I mean, because don't forget, Jenson Button was seasoned, over 100 Grand Prix under his belt. You know, he was good. But Nico Hülkenberg is fresh, right out of the womb.
Right out of the box.
So that should be interesting. Williams getting ready to make a big decision on a motor. So we're pretty pumped up. You know, I'm hoping it's Renault because that's me. Because of the heritage and the history of Williams and Renault. Even though Damon Hill...
Wouldn't that be interesting if McLaren picks up the BMW plant and then starts selling motors to the grid? That would be an interesting turn of events.
It would, but let's see what happens. But Toyota is definitely out of furnishing motors for Williams. Basically, their two choices are Renault or Cosworth, and I think they're going to go with Renault. And they asked Frank Williams whether the thought of Renault again powering a Williams provoked excitement. Sir Frank said, absolutely.
Certainly, absolutely.
So, I'm pretty pumped up. Of course, Felipe Massa back in Maranello. 6 hours in the simulator. Simulator, you know, it's good for reaction times and things like that, but certainly doesn't do...
certainly not going to put the loads on you that you're going
to
see.
No, 70 laps in a Formula One car is what you need to test.
Yeah, and they were also saying that this test is also going to be monitored by the FIA... Health inspector.
Of course, they have to have the doctor there. There's going to be tests. You know, he's got to be able to exit the vehicle in, 12.5 seconds?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to be an issue.
No,
I'm more concerned about the G-loads on his skull this soon after
I agree. That
injury.
Absolutely. The healing, the bone, the tissue, the eyeball, even though his you know, his vision is 100%. Look what Schumacher announced he was coming back. He thought he had it in the bag, and then all of a sudden he took the car, did 70 laps, and realized, ow, my neck hurts really bad.
Yeah, and that's... If you're a Felipe fan, don't get your hopes up, because I'm leery to think that he can make it back this quickly after the type of injury he had. Just the forces that are exerted on your body when you drive a Formula One car are just unbelievable. You think a jet fighter pilot has it bad, but these guys do it lap after lap after lap for 2 hours on end. It's nearly insane.
Yeah, it's almost like hosting the show. I mean,
yeah, the forces involved in hosting the show.
Exactly. But and if you are a Massanet or a Felipe Massa fan, you want him to be good. There's no reason to come back in 2009 to just do one race. Take your time, exercise, good diet. He'll be back next year, I'm sure.
Healed up completely.
Exactly. Because, you know, and you want to heal really well because next year it's Fernando.
Yeah, exactly.
Not sleepy. So, he's going to have to be in tip-top form. Next year is going to be exciting. Steven, keep up the good work and keep that open mind going. Now, what are your thoughts about the following race? Brazil, Jenson Button can do it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be interested to see whether or not the Bronze can show up with a car that's competitive.
No.
They really haven't been able to do that in the last several races. The thing being is that Jenson doesn't really need that much to get past it. And ultimately, if I'm Braun, I run him dry in qualifying just to get him out in front.
I would too. I think they need to go aggressive. Get him out there so he doesn't get into some kind of accident.
Yeah. If nothing else, you know, he should already be at the DNF chapel, you know, making his paying his alms to make sure that nothing happens. Because, like I think we mentioned during the race last week, that Brazil is not a track where you want to start any lower than fifth, because invariably there'll be a schlamazel. And, you know, if Fisichella is anywhere near you, he's probably going to run you off the track.
Is Fisichella the new David Coulthard?
Kind of. He seems to always get into something with somebody at the start of Brazil. The last several times I seem to remember him involved.
Well, the biggest problem is Rubens Barrichello is fighting for the championship, too. And, you know, he's had
both
so
many, put them both in the front row. Let him run.
Well, it's those emotional scars that he got at Ferrari. It's just, you know, and Ross Brawn has talked about the negativity, you know, within the team and the pressure between the two drivers and managing that and handling it. These last two races are going to be interesting just watching the human condition at Braun.
Yeah, definitely. Going to be some rivalry there. You know, if one of them has a bad practice, you know, how testy is he going to be? You know, I can just see it, you know, the post-practice press conference going, you know, they're favoring him. They're favoring him. You know, it's like, no.
Yeah. And of course, with McLaren having found pace, really have done an outstanding job in developing the car towards the end of the season, Lewis Hamilton has a very good chance in winning this race.
Or being in the mix to shake things up. You know, the Red Bulls have been strong. And I think this is going to be a track that's going to suit them well. They've been running well. If Weber can just keep his darn car on the track, maybe he can actually help his teammate get to the champion, you know, at least stay alive in the championship.
Well, Weber needs to go to a number of chapels because he's just had so much bad luck. And his career has been like that. It was like that at Williams often.
Always when I think Mark Webber, I think of him and the Williams in Monaco, you know, in line for a podium, and the car blows up.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's terrible. And the other thing is we have these young drivers, Alguersuari, Grosjean, stay out of trouble, you know, because now we're deciding the world championship. You don't want to be hindering somebody who's fighting for the world championship. Don't wipe out, crash, and take other people out.
Yeah, and then the other thing, too, is that we don't need, you know, safety cars to kind of, well, safety cars are fun because they'll bunch up the field, but we don't need a safety car to kind of help decide the championship.
I could completely agree. I want to see a beautiful, free problem, you know, I mean, absolutely nice championship without something strange happening in a PK-esque kind of way. So we'll see what happens. We'll get to some predictions after Motorsports Mondial. And, of course, we have the race this weekend.
We'll save the predictions for next week. We've got another week
to go. That's true. And we have a great interview this weekend that we'll talk about in the second part of the show. So let me take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and konnichiwa from Suzuka. How are you, Mr. Clark-san?
Very good. The Duke of Dijon had some sushi, and I feel cleansed.
Oh, good. Did you have any mochi ice cream, which is my favorite?
Which I love. Absolutely.
Especially the green tea mochi ice cream.
That's one of my favorites, and you can eat it with your hands. I like that.
How about you, Steve, son?
Very enjoyable. I could have used a little more action, a little bit processional, but I love watching a car go around Suzuka. It's just a fun track to sit in that cockpit with the driver and go through the S's and then down into the hairpin and the 130R. Just a fun place to watch, you know, to see a car go. Not much racing involved, but fun to watch.
Yeah, and they did not have the qualifying problems in race, so it was very good. But, you know, the pursuit of happiness continues through passion for Formula One. And today I had a very interesting conversation with another passionate fan of motor racing and Formula One in particular, Mr. Paul Chenard. He is a gentleman and a graphic designer in Nova Scotia, north of the border in Canada. You know, our listeners who had a chance to visit our website would have seen a little tribute we did for François Sivert this week. The beautiful graph work we used on our front page was done by Paul, and it's very, very nice. And some of his work can be seen on his website, which is www.automobiliart.com. That's AUTOMOBILIART.com. And I particularly like the pencil sketches he calls Driver, Constructor, Winner. This is his tribute to three drivers who built their own cars and won a Formula One race in them. And they're, of course, Jack Brabham, Dan Gurney, and Bruce McLaren. And these are pencil sketches, and at the back of the car, it has the national flag of all their respective countries. So very nicely done. And he also has a blog, which is www.automobiliart.blogspot.com. Please check it out, and you will appreciate his passion and work. And you've seen some of his work, right?
Outstanding. Absolutely. Yeah. A very talented person. Just wonderful stuff. I like it.
Yeah, I had a nice conversation with him for about half an hour today, and we will definitely do a conversation and record it for an interview. And he has a lot of interesting stories, and we shall get to him maybe another few weeks, and it'll be nice to have an interview with one of our, you know, friends in Canada. Have you ever interviewed anybody in Canada? Not from Canada, but like in Canada? Probably no, not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we have interviewed Daniel Murad, but we'll get back to him for sure. I mean, I told him, and it will be very interesting.
I think we have tax issues in Canada.
Tax issues?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Bernie is facing those.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, today, as far as the Formula One from the land of rising sun is concerned, we'll talk about that. MotoGP from Portugal and other delights whipped up from all over the world of motor racing. And talking of delights, may I thank the host with the open mind for orange-flavored tea. Thank you, sir. Yes, last week he was wearing the orange T-shirt. Now I get the orange tea.
Well, we increased the tea budget.
We'll make a Dutchman out of you yet.
Okay. Yeah, he's working on it. Okay, you know, Arnaij took the most races, 176, before becoming world champion. Jensen will not take that long, as he has only two more races to button up his first and long-awaited championship. And in my old age, I really don't want to see the championship go to the last race. It gets a little too much, so I'm hoping it will be wrapped up.
But it's going to the last race.
No, I think it's going to be settled in, again in Brazil.
Sebastian Vettel. And Vettel bottled water will be there available.
We shall see. And Suzuka, just a little word about Suzuka, located near Nagoya, Nihon, or Japan's third largest city. It was designed by John Hugenholtz of Netherlands, talk about Dutch, and built in 1962. The main event, this is very interesting. The first main event was a Japanese Grand Prix for sports cars in 1963, and was won by Peter Ward, later to become Colin Chapman's right-hand man at Lotus, Team Lotus. And he did not get along at all with Nigel Mansell.
Imagine that.
Yeah, you know, actually, he's interviewed in Motorsport magazine about a year ago, and he's talking about his two drivers at that time, Elio De Angelis and Nigel Mansell, and he's like talking about Elio De Angelis as man of culture, taste, this and that. And he has some very unkind words for Nigel Mansell, which I won't say here. But, I mean, you can tell that this guy really did not like Nigel Mansell at all. But going back to Formula One and Suzuka, Formula One first came here in 1987. R. Nige had a nasty crash in practice, which took him out of the race and the championship, pending much-loved teammate Nelson, no crash PK, his third and final championship. And you know, around this time in 87, Nigel Mansell used to write a column, which, if I remember correctly, used to be in Autosport. And I was reading after this race what happened, and he wrote in this column about his accident, that he was in a lot of pain and they were going to take him by helicopter to a hotel, to a hospital in Tokyo. And he said everything was fine. We got in the air, and in a few minutes we're all over Tokyo, you know, all these high-rise buildings there. And he said, for the next 10 minutes, we played the game. Who can spot the hospital first? Apparently, they were having some problem trying to get to the hospital itself.
These things happen.
These things happen, and it's no fun when you have a lot of back pain. Let me tell you that, after a 180 miles per hour crash with your car going back in the wall can bite you in many ways.
That's PK.
Exactly. But now, you know, he's coming to the truck racing, so he'll have a lot of opportunities to meet and hug the wall.
Yeah, makes it a little tougher to kind of pull off the stunt that he did in Singapore, because, hey, everybody does it every weekend.
Yeah. And that's what's going to be so bizarre for PK. They're going to go up to him and say, okay, you know, it's okay to crash here.
Yeah. He might say, you know, Greg Biffle told me to crash in the wall.
Greg Biffle, my friend?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the race in 1987 was won by Gerhard Berger, giving Ferrari their first win in 2 years. And Suzuka was also the scene of controversial championship-deciding races in 1989 and 1990 between Alain Prost and Ayrton Senna. Score was a draw, with each becoming world champion after tangling in dubious circumstances. 1994, day of days for Damon Hill, as he beats Michael Schumacher fair and square in the rain, and he considers this as his best victory. Well, any time you can beat Michael Schumacher, it's a great day. And if you can do that in rain, it's hard to believe, but it has happened once or twice. 2005, oh dear, Alonso makes an amazing pass on Schumacher on the outside going into R130 or 130R, as some call it, and Raikkonen passes Fisichella on the last lap to win after starting 17. And this is the pass that I like. They played that again and again during the telecast.
You mean the Alonso pass?
No, the Raikkonen pass.
Oh, I like the Alonso pass on Schumacher. That was an amazing pass. That is high speed.
That is an amazing pass.
It was very elegant and beautiful.
It was.
The difference between Michelin's and Bridgestone.
Thank you very much.
So nothing to do with the drought. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Open Mind?
The driver has to be able to use the tires.
It's called team effort here.
Good. But Raikkonen pass was very, very machismo too, coming from nowhere and passing on the
drivers.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of driver dialogue, some thoughts and comments from drivers in the Japanese Grand Prix this year. Let me turn the page. Okay, Lewis Hamilton, you remember him?
Vaguely. I think he was world champion.
Yeah, the youngest ever. The 2008 world champion says at about Suzuka, this is the best track I've ever driven. And that's saying something.
I don't know. What happened to Spa? All of a sudden, Spa's forgotten?
No, Spa is also very good. And I remember talking once to, what's his name, from Malaysia, Alex Yung. I asked him, what's your favorite track? And he said, Suzuka. It is a very nice track.
It is a very nice track.
Well, Lewis was so enamored with the track, he actually, I think, practically begged the team to let him go back out in the rain of practice so he could drive it a couple more laps.
Yeah, this Sebastian Vettel was also thrilled with this track, apart from even before he won the race. Teammate Kovalainen was also racing at Suzuka for the first time and was equally impressed, saying, obviously, the Japanese make very good tarmac, as this was also the case in Fuji. And I say, forget tarmac. I want to know how good was the tempura at Suzuka. Authentic. Home cooked.
Totally.
You like tempura?
I love tempura.
Me too.
I go to Happy House all the time.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you're so happy, merry and gay when you come here. Okay, with two races remaining, top five in the championship are Bouton leading with 85 points. Second is teammate Barrichello on 71 points. Vettel is third and in a position to pull a Raikkonen on Button with 69 points. His teammate Weber is out of the running for the title but currently lies fourth with 51.5 points. Exactly. Kimi, given the sayonara salute by Ferrari, is fifth with 45 points. Have you heard this latest? I just saw it this afternoon that Weber apparently is refusing to give up his association with
Flavio. Of course.
Did you guys cover this in the first segment?
Well, we talked about that a week ago or so, that he has been with Flavio forever, and he doesn't see any reason to
change management.
No, but what I read today was that this is not sitting well with the Red Bull people, and they are thinking of taking on, maybe it's just a rumor, taking on Raikkonen and pushing Weber to Toro Rosso, which will be very, very unfair.
It would be terrible, to be honest with you. Mark Weber has done an outstanding job all year long.
He has, and he has paid his dues, but, you know, this is motor racing. Anything can happen.
It's the pariah. And what me and Steve talked about this at the beginning of the program, while you were in transit in the limo, and this news about Raikkonen possibly going to Red Bull is huge, and not only that, but the cage rattling possibilities are just outstanding. Kimi Raikkonen and Vettel in the same team?
You know, I got to tell you something.
Where does that go?
As much as I have a high opinion of Kimi Raikkonen, because I cannot think of any driver who can go from, including Senna and Schumacher, I would say, from Formula Renault to Formula One and be totally unfazed by it, I will have to say, if a guy is not motivated to do his job, see, his crime at Ferrari, why he's being let go, is not lack of performance, it's lack of commitment.
Correct.
Okay? And if you're not committed, if you are showing lack of commitment at $50 million, why would you be committed at $15 million? And it's been proven again and again, especially in recent years, if you have the best car on the grid, you really don't need an Alonso or a Raikkonen or even a Hamilton. In the best car, average good driver will win races and championships.
That's very true. And I think a number of teams, after thinking it through, don't want the headache that could come to a team when you have a very fast driver who's not motivated.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, him not talking to people, that I totally understand. That's his personality. But just to give up on things and not even try, not acceptable.
Well, I think one of the reasons teams are trying to get these quick drivers is because of how compressed the gap is between the first and last cars in the field right now. You need that driver who can give you an extra 2 or 3 tenths, because that's the difference between getting out of Q1 and getting into Q3.
Yeah, it's not 6 tenths anymore. Now it's 2 tenths.
Yeah. But moving on, any point earned by Braun in Brazil will give them the Constructors' Championship in their maiden season. Mighty impressed, and I hope Her Majesty invites Ross Braun for a cup of chai at her Balmoral Castle.
And I really don't call this their maiden season.
What do you call this, the third season?
Totally.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was Honda. most of this development on this car and chassis were done by Honda with lots of money.
Lots of money.
We'll see how Braun...
Well, it's as you can see that McLaren and Ferrari are not going to be running slow next year. So I think that this could be the high point for a few years. And I hope they get, well, they're going to get the constructors, and I hope they, well, they pretty well get much get the drivers also, which will be good. Okay, from Japan, we go to Portugal, long-distance flight, lots of frequent flyer miles, to Estoril near the coastal town of Cascais for MotoGP action. Winner from last year, Jorge Lorenzo, or as Valentino Rossi calls him, Jorge Lorenzo, takes pole position, his fifth of the season, ahead of Team Yamaha teammate, Mr. Rossi himself, and the returning Ducati rider from Australia, Casey Stoner, who did a very impressive job all through the weekend. Lorenzo won the race in dominating fashion, helping Yamaha win the Constructors' Championship. Casey Stoner came in second after missing some races due to a mystery illness. Danny Pedrosa was third for Honda, and Casey Stoner is, of course, is the top dog for Ducati. Valentino Rossi was fourth, and apparently, if I have this information correct, this was the first time he did not finish on the podium in Portugal. You know, very impressive going there. But he still leads the championship by 18 points over Jorge Lorenzo with three races to go. One of them will be on beautiful Phillip Island track in Australia. I mean, you really have to check out a race at this place. Beautiful, magnificent. Texas rider Ben Spies is moving up to MotoGP next season. This year he is duking out with Noriyuki Nitro Haga for the championship in World Superbikes and has won over a dozen races so far this season. And this past weekend, Haga won one race. They have two races in a weekend, and Spies won the other. So a tremendous performance from him this year, first year in Europe, and wish him all the best. From Portugal, we run for the border, Taco Bell style, to Spain for Rally Catalunya. Only one event remaining in the championship, and only 1 point separates Sebastian Loeb from championship leader Mikko Hirvonen after winning in Catalunya. Loeb Citroën teammate Danny Sordo, who is from Spain, was second and Hirvonen third in his Ford Focus. Final round is in Britain, and we shall bring all the jolly good news when it happens. And jolly good news for you would mean Loeb is the world champion again.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think so. But what happens if Hirvonen wins?
Tears.
Will we have a pulse?
I'll have a pulse. I'll be okay.
Okay, that's fine. Another border crossing. This time takes us to a track near Bandol in France, Paul Ricard. And the FIA GT Championship winners were boys from Brazil, Enrique Bernoulli, once upon a time in Formula One, and Roberto Strite, I believe is the name, in their Corvette. So good for them. Salo, well, you know, they'll be playing a lot of Belinda Carlisle in NASCAR lately, you know, Circles in the Sand. Salo in the Circles. Mika Salo, who grew up on the same street as his namesake Hakkinen, and this is a true story, he will test for Michael Waltrip Racing Toyota. Ironically, Toyota was the team Salo once drove for in Formula One. Do you remember those days?
The early days.
Yeah, and actually he scored a point on their debut, if I am not mistaken, in Land Down Under. But wait, there's more. Jarno Trulli will also test in NASCAR, but he is claiming this is only for fun. How much fun would it be? I hope that he's testing at Bristol. That would be a lot of fun.
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfecto.
It'd be fun because he may need it to get himself another job.
I don't know. You know, I don't see Jarno Trulli moving to the USA and doing a race a weekend. And, you know, this is a grueling schedule.
No, I don't think he will.
No, Jarno's far more likely to go to DTM or something.
But I think he just wants to taste it.
Yeah, see what it's like, figure out why Juan Pablo's so enamored with it.
Well, you know, remember, he's a Toyota contract driver, so they can use it for a lot of PR value.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Webber, team owner, Red Bull racer, has joined forces with his team manager, Christian Horner, to form MW Arden to compete in the new GP3 series, which will be like a stepping stone to GP2, and they will race primarily on all the F1 circus tracks, along with the F1 races and GP2 races, except Turkey and Monaco. Webber wants to help young Australian drivers in their European campaign. And Daniel Ricciardo could be his first client, who is a very good driver. Obviously, if you want to help your homeboy, you help somebody who is competitive, not somebody who's hanging out in 15th place after 3 years in the series. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Okay. Montreal Madness and Dodgy Donington. Reports are Bernie is running out of patience with both places. Mayor of Montreal is maintaining that his race will take place next year and remaining details will be sorted out, but at least the tax that Bernie has to pay that he does not want to pay. Le surprise, surprise. But across the pond, the situation at Donington Park is simply red. Money's too tight to mention. You heard that before, right? Or maybe listening even now, like me.
And didn't they, like, last week extend their contract for another 5 or 6 years or something ridiculous like that?
No, they have not been able to provide their bank guarantees for money. And Simon Gillette has been given final extension. And if conditions are not met, Bernie will shave him off the Formula One calendar, which could only mean, hopefully, with Bernie you never know, that the British Grand Prix will be what it should be, Silverstone. What say you, gentlemen?
I'm hoping it goes back to Silverstone. I don't think this Donington thing is going to work out at all.
What about you, Mr. Open Mind?
Well, it seems to be that this has really been kind of up and down since the get-go. And then from what I've heard, you know, getting in and out of Donington is not an easy task. And that always seems to be an issue for our friends in Formula One. So, very interesting. I think it's going to happen at least next year for sure. It's going to be back at Silverstone because Donington's not going to be ready.
Okay. And if it's at Silverstone, I'm going to go.
Next year?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, just made the decision right now.
Oh, wow. Great. Moving on, Marmorini back in Maranello. Luca Marmorini, who used to work at Toyota, is returning to Ferrari. He was the main engine man in Cologne and takes over from Gilles Simon, who is leaving Ferrari. And Marmorini originally used to work for Ferrari. And I have to say, this is a gentleman who was kind enough to show me and Kazim Mansour. He took us into the Toyota pits at Monza a couple of years ago, shows the engine and all that. So hopefully we'll have a contact now at Ferrari. Wondered if he will remember us.
You didn't Xerox anything, did you?
No, but I remember, I think I had my phone out to text something to you.
Okay.
So you didn't have like some powdered sugar left over from your morning waffles on your hands?
No. Maybe left some gelato there. But it was the engine was very impressive. It just looked beautiful.
Well, Formula One engines are always very impressive.
It was a brand new engine. He told me it has not even been run for one lap. So anyhow, BMW driver Colin Turkington has won the British Touring Car Championship. So our cheers and congratulations from...
And they made a big deal about this. I mean, the whole paddock was in an uproar.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, all the other drivers were just so happy for him.
Good.
It was exciting.
That's good. That's how they will be when Nando wins his third championship.
Absolutely. And the party here will go on for, 48 hours?
Yeah, I think it will start before he even wins it.
Another party in Clark Rogers front yard?
Well, you know, I had a party for the 2005 World Championship.
Good.
You guys don't remember?
Well, I had not met the...
I missed it because I had to go out of town of business just that week. It was like...
I was not in the group in those days, so it was just you and Desiree.
That was it.
I can just imagine the fun you had.
Ooh, la, 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 la.
Yeah. Okay, turning a new leaf, Nelson Piquet Jr. has crossed the pond, ladies and gentlemen. After winning in British F3, GP2, and some sand in the Vaseline F1 experience, he is now embarking on a career in NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. I am sure he is tickled pink.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall.
Well, what do you think? What do you think it'll be?
Camping World Truck Series?
Yeah.
I mean, what is this? Do they have camper shells?
No, it's sponsored by Camping World, and it's going to be a big hit there.
Oh, I am sure this is going to be the best move for his career. You know why? Because
Him and Kyle Busch are going to get along very well.
Not only that, but Nelson Piquet, when he speaks English, he speaks with an American accent.
Oh, wow.
Big time.
Wow.
And a couple of months in Alabama.
Kind of like Montoya?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. He's
a couple of months in Montoya, Georgia.
In Montoya or Alabama?
In Alabama, Georgia, Piquet will all of a sudden will be speaking in a southern drawl. He'll gain a little bit of weight.
That's a requirement.
And then him and Tony Stewart will be doing Burger King commercials. This is it. I see a big success story, for sure.
Oh, me too. It's going to be great.
It's wonderful.
Apex Brazil might move from Indy cars to Camping World Truck Series.
Exactly. And then him and Tony Kanaan will be having a great time at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, Tony Kanaan is single again, so... But that's another story. Okay, finally, back to the base in the U.S. NASCAR from Kansas. Tony Stewart was the winner ahead of Jeff Gordon and Greg Biffle. Monty was fourth. Mark Martin still leads the championship. Monty is very much in the battle. Monty is looking very good and very competitive here.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's been racy this season. He's been, you know, in the top 10 a lot. And
yeah.
Compared to, like, last season when he was lucky if he got above 20.
Yeah. And looking forward, coming up this weekend at Laguna Seca is the American Le Mans Series finale and also the final championship deciding race in Formula Atlantique between Simona Di Silvestro of Switzerland, who is leading the championship, over Jonathan Summerton of Kissimmee, Florida, and John Michael Edwards of Cincinnati, Ohio. And I will be there on Sunday and hope to bring back some interviews. And talking of Summerton, again, later in the day, just before I was coming here, I saw this news item on autosport.com that there is a story quoting Peter Windsor saying that there is a chance that Team USF1 or whatever the name is by March, they may not even have any American driver, depending on who's available, depending on the level of experience. So, you know, it's. I think we need more information from these people.
That is a very bewildering statement.
I think it comes down to the fact that right now, in the world stage, there isn't a driver that's been groomed to get to Formula One. The really only American that you have that has any experience in Formula One is Scott Speed, and he's got it made in NASCAR. They don't have anybody that's high enough up.
You look at Romain Grosjean. You know, talking of Grosjean, he's under the gun. He's probably out at Renault.
We talked about that. He's out.
This is a guy with almost two years of experience in GP2. He's struggling. So what makes them think that an American driver who has not even raced in Europe, whoever it may be for 2-3 years, is just going to go and kick ass? It doesn't go that way.
Ultimately, what I think your idea makes the most sense is what they do is they sign somebody. They sign somebody for a couple of years, get a couple of experienced drivers to work on developing the car, and they put some money into some American drivers in the European series. Start their own driver development program so that they can get an American driver seasoned enough to actually get in the car.
And going back to this Autosport story, they were quoting Peter Windsor saying that GP2 is very expensive, you know, 1.5. I'm not sure if we have the money. Well, if you don't have 1.5 million, how are you going to have 40, 50 million?
It comes down to if you want to run American drivers, you're going to have to find the money to develop them because most American drivers are developing themselves to run in either the IndyCar series or NASCAR. They're not looking to get on the world stage.
Well, yeah, you know, if you don't do 2 years of a driver does not do 2 years of racing in competitive environment in Europe, F3 Euro Series or GP2. And you go straight into Formula One, you're really setting up that kid to fail.
Unless the kid is so outrageously talented that he can do it. And we've seen one driver, but we've seen two drivers in the last 20 that have come into Formula One that have that kind of talent.
Yeah. And even then, if you take out Raikkonen, all of them paid their dues to get there.
Yeah.
Ayrton Senna would not go into Formula One with Ron Dennis in 83 or whatever, 83 I believe, because he did not feel ready for Formula One. Ayrton Senna itself, think about it.
Yeah.
So if you have a lot of talent, you know what you do is pace yourself, go step by step.
Yeah, well, you want to get the experience. Not only that, but to be able to drive a fast car on the European tracks before you get into this overly powered monster that is a Formula One car, it doesn't... How many guys have we seen? Romain Grosjean, Nelson Piquet. Guys who've had years in going up the ladder.
Look at Kovalainen. Look at Kovalainen.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't done much. Here's a guy who was World Series champion, beat Michael Schumacher in the World Champion. What is it called? Champions Trophy or Nations Cup or whatever? you know, this end of year race. So I mean, this Formula One is not
race of champions.
Race of champions. Thank you. The open mind helps every now and then, but the Formula One is not something you just jump in and kick out. It doesn't go that way.
Hence the reason why Peter Windsor put out this statement that they may not have American drivers. Now, just give this a little thought. Peter Windsor puts this out, and guess who's going to be in the United States? Yarno Trulli and Mika Salo. And I bet you they've got a Greyhound bus ticket right to Charlotte.
Yeah, because that's all USF1 can afford is a Greyhound bus ticket.
No, there are good drivers available like Gary Pafford and even DC.
Absolutely.
Who will be very good to develop the car.
But I think a Yarno Trulli, who was in Formula One in 2009, is your best bet for development.
Yeah, there are Pedro De La Rosa, and I mean, there's no shortage of good drivers there. But, you know, when they start talking about all this, you know, we're going to have live cameras. Well, I was talking to Danica Patrick. Fine and dandy.
Well,
you know?
Ultimately, you knew that the conversations with Danica Patrick were all about publicity, nothing
yeah.
more.
Yeah, because the other thing, whenever you mention Danica Patrick, you're going to get a lot of...
you're going to get some domestic coverage.
You're going to get domestic coverage, and people are always Googling Danica Patrick because she's an attractive woman that's in racing in the United States. She's top billing. That's just a publicity stunt, I agree. Keep up the good work, Stephen. And another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Well, real quickly, why don't you remind our listeners about this weekend's interview?
Oh, shall we do it right now? Absolutely, sir. This conversation is with one of our longstanding listeners, Jeff Klein. And a couple of years ago, he sent me an email. He was trying to get some information on these races on TV, on the web. And I saw the name Jeff Klein. I said, you know, I remember Jeff Klein from 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when I used to go to GTP IMSA races. So I wrote back to him. I says, hey, are you the same gentleman who was racing in IMSA GTP? He says, yes. Small world. So this conversation was recorded a few weeks ago. Very interesting stories. And what I really like, his brush with America's first world champion, Phil Hill, shortly after Phil Hill had won the world championship in 1961. And Jeff was just a teenager, but they had a brief encounter on the highways and byways of Southern California. Very interesting story there. And then decades later, they met again in Monte Carlo. So it's a very nice story. I would let listeners listen to his own version. And as it turns out, as I was talking to him and also in a previous conversation, we, of course, did not know each other 15 years ago, but there were many races that came up in the conversation. The first ever race at Topeka Raceway, Heartland Park, I think they call it Raceway. Very nice track. He was at that race. And we were talking about, you know, different classes racing there. I was there, and he was there, and he was at a race here at Sears Point. So it's very interesting. So I would like to thank him, and I hope our listeners enjoy the conversation with Jeff Klein, ex-IMSA racer. And we would like to hear feedback, as always.
And, of course, this will be aired this weekend, because we have no racing and have plenty of time for a quality interview.
Yes, and this is a very interesting, I think it's like an hour-long conversation, all about motorsports and some very interesting stories about IMSA and other drivers. So it's very, very, I really enjoyed talking to him, and obviously when I'm going down south LA land in the near future, I'll definitely hook up with him. Thank you, sir.
We'll take a quick break. And we'll be back in 60 seconds.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And let's go right into the wrap-up, and we've got our forum updates.
Forum updates. Thank you, Miguel. Wow, what a hectic week it has been. The farm was totally renovated and now sports a new livery. Very Ron Dennisian, at least in the opinion of some forum members. Great job, Toby. Keep up the good work and may Clark add a bunch of zeros to your bonus check. Forum members FIA Conspiracy and Sniper 919, who have been AWOL for some time from the forum, have made a celebrated return. Did you know Alonso can crack a nut with his neck? What? Just one of the many pieces of information posted in a week dominated by the musical chairs game of driver transfers, by Alonso's move to Ferrari, and of course, by all things related to the Japanese Grand Prix. Lion Bray won the Japanese leg of the predictions competition and now leads the overall rankings with 520 points, 10 more than former leader Starfleet. Tricky Dick attempts at results fixing were fruitless and were much condemned by all participants. And now, how I love to live in the countryside is now discussing legal aspects of the Australian Constitution in an elevated technical tone that includes the use of the word baboon. And finally, a general consensus in the forum is emerging to stop using the name of a former Renault driver whose reputation, personal and as well as professional, has been publicly smashed to pieces in a certain wall of in one certain circuit. And that's all for this week. Remember, don't give in to the new feds. Keep clicking on the Yahoo ads. Thank you, Miguel.
Steven, and on today's podcast, we have time for one email. So woo-hoo. Give it to us, Steven.
This one is from Mike in Winnipeg, and he writes, "Guys, I can think of no better one to fill the shoes of Alonso than Robert Kubica. Muy Macho Polonia is obviously quite talented, and we've seen what he can do in a good car. Not even a perfect car, just a good car. I've been a Kubica fan since he stepped in for Villeneuve at Tauber. It's a shame BMW gave up development of the car mid-season last year, as I'm sure he would have been a challenger for the driver's title. Who do you think he will team with? Another established driver? Possibly Glock? Or maybe a rookie like Degrassi? Do you think, with some off-season testing, Big John can get up to speed and keep his seat? Be interesting to see. Great show, guys. Keep up the good work. Mike." Thanks, Mike.
P.S. Well, good work, Steven. Let's go right to it and wrap it up quickly. The San Francisco Formula One group, they're always meeting on race weekends over at Kezar Pub and Restaurant in beautiful San Francisco. Just check them out at sff1.com. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at marinkarting.com or simply pick up the phone and dial 415-898-0999. We want to mention, of course, our Twitter, MySpace, and Facebook sites. We participate in all three social networking sites, and of course, we tweet when everybody tweets at us. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. Once again, I want to thank everybody who listens to the program, and of course, I want to thank Toby Dawes, the executive producer, David Tapia, Nasser Hamid, Steve Faub, and myself. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.